And to steal from another person is one thing, but to steal from God, that's quite another thing. And great victory will come. See, no, we're not in this message just here to pound on you and make you feel bad. We're here to help you find the key to victory. And the key to victory is say, okay, Lord, I did it. I know I did it. I admit I did it. I admit it was a sin. And Lord, forgive me for taking your money. Forgive me for stealing from you. I ask you to forgive me. And with your help, I'm not going to do it again. Mm-hmm. Now, I think when we get that honest with the Lord, Barbara, then his blessings begin to be released in our lives. But there's a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of thieves going to our churches. Folks, we can't do that. We just can't do that. You say, my goodness, you and Barbara are sure hard. No, we're not. We're trying to tell you the key to victory is to stop stealing from the Lord, give him his due, and watch him turn around and bless you.
That's right. I believe, Darren, here is where the real battle takes place. And so many people have reasoned out, well, I can't pay all my bills and tithe. Now, we've received many letters from people. I can't tithe and pay all my bills. Now, reason would tell us that. And it says in 1 Corinthians 3 that the reasonings of the wise are useless. Even the very wise, their reasonings are useless. And the mindset, as you said before, the mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. We see here a battle in each person, and we're speaking to you today because the battle is going on in you. Part of you is saying, I can't pay the tithe. And the spirit part of you, see, that's the part that's been born again. That's the part that wants to serve God. That part of you is saying, you've got to obey God. This is the very important part that you got to obey God with, and you're going into a battle mode. And you're not getting the joy, you're not getting the peace, and you're not getting the favor of God because of the battle that's going on in you.
But there's another thing, Barbara. The traditions of men declare the word null and void in your life. Now, let's take the tradition of not giving. Mm. Let's take the tradition just of rebellion. Maybe your dad was a rebellious person, and he had his take on it. He had a bunch of ideas, and, you know, most of them were weird and whatever. Don't follow that pattern. I mean, get smart and say, God, you're my Heavenly Father. Now, how do I do this, and how do I do it right? How do you want me to do it? Now, many times these traditions that come down through families, and you stop and think about it, yeah, there's traditions in our family. We do things a certain way, you know. Some would, for example, never pray over their food. Now, I was raised with the tradition of praying over my food, and it's become a very, very special thing to me. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of helping me health-wise because I bless that food, and I declare no matter who touched it, how it was grown, or where it came from, because our foods now are coming from all over the world.
That's right.
You go through the apple section, they're grown in Fiji, they're grown all over the world, and they're shipped in, well, or I mean, certainly outside of Colorado, and many things come from South America, from Chile and whatever. How do I know how those things are handled? I don't. But when I pray over that because of this tradition my parents taught me, now it's become a living thing. I bless that food and declare that it's sanctified holy for myself. But I also believe, Barbara, because I'm a tither, that looses a great blessing on my life. So consequently, I live without sickness. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. We do not expect to have accidents on the road. Praise God. We're very, very well protected. Last month, we drove 7,500 miles. That's a lot of miles. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not even a close shave because God's looking out for us, taking care of us.
And we've talked about those great men and women of the Bible that did tithe, and they were blessed immensely. And we talked about Abraham. This was a man who accumulated many, many flocks and many servants. He had over 300 servants. And we talk about Jacob. And he ran away from home. And in 20 years, Darren, he accumulated great flocks. So we see that there's such great reward in obeying God. There's such great joy and peace. And if you have a thankful heart, as Deuteronomy 28:47 talks about, if you give God glory with a thankful and a glad heart, he will keep those enemies from running ramshot over you. Excuse me, my tongue got tangled. But we want you to be blessed. We want you to be prosperous in everything you do.
Well, see, again, I'd say this, Barbara. We talked about this at the very beginning of the series. God wants to work in relationship with us. And when he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, his plan was to take them right across there 3 or 4 days, mm-hmm. right into the promised land. But he was really saying to them, now, I'll fight with you. I'm not just going over there and defeat all the enemies and kill the wild animals and then set up, a smoke signal and say, y'all come. I want to work with you. And he wants the same relationship with us in tithing. Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing. Let's talk about Malachi.
Well, in Malachi here, the people have been over into the New Jerusalem, the new city that had been rebuilt. And we talked about that a little bit in Nehemiah. You go from Nehemiah into Malachi. And here is, after 100 years of being over there, Darren, we see a people that have become complacent. We see a people that have become lazy. They have intermarried, and they have done an injustice to the tithe. And this whole book of Malachi, the main subject is the sin and the lack of tithing. And we see it in the first chapter here, very first chapter of Malachi. And I know so many of you know Malachi 3:10-11, and we quote that in the church. Boy, that is a big verse. But how many of you really know about the book of Malachi? This is a book that was written because the writer of this book wanted the priests to know how careless they were with the offerings and the tithe. And here it begins in verse 2 of chapter 1. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob, but I hated Esau. Now Esau was a man who did not acknowledge God's birthright. He did not acknowledge God's plan for his life. He just snubbed his nose at God, and he says, I'll do it my way. And I know that those of you listening know people like that. They've snubbed their nose at God, and they said, I don't want it your way. And so they reap a horrible harvest. But here God says, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated, because Esau was not a man after God's own heart. He didn't want to do things God's way.
Now, Barb, I know this book of Malachi is targeted to the priest. But in a New Testament concept, in Revelation 1:6, it says we are to be a kingdom of priests. Mm-hmm. All right? So we can take this message here very, very personally.
Oh,
take
yes.
it to heart, because now we're priests under a new covenant.
Yes.
And so what it says to the priesthood, we need to take very, very seriously.
That's right. And it says here in verse 7, you are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled thee? In that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised. Now, that means God was saying to them, you have treated my table as common. And Darren, I remember going to a church one time, and I know this may be a little outlandish to some of you, but there was a communion table out in the foyer. And the communion table is special to me, especially with the words of Jesus, do this in remembrance of me, written on a lot of communion tables. And many of you go to churches where the communion table has the main focus in the sanctuary. It's right up there.
It's
with
up
the
in
pulpit.
Front, right.
Yes. And here in the foyer, people were taking out their sack lunches and eating it on this table. Now, many of you say, well, that's not bad. But what we're saying here is that something that was blessed of God should not be used as common. And that's exactly what they were doing here. They were taking an altar that had been consecrated and dedicated to the things of God, and they were using defiled and stolen things on it. And God did not approve of this.
Well, I saw another church, in fact, I was in it for a while, where the pastor said, well, the communion is set up in the foyer, and you can take it coming and going. What are we trying to say?
Wow.
We don't have time to respect